Random observation. Very few people have understood the character of men who do evil. Most people who've written about them just make everything too black for me. Either that or they're trying to make some sugar and spice Bonnie and Clyde movie. Anyway, movie stars withstanding, I don't believe your bad man can be obtuse, and I don't believe he'd necessarily be morose. In fact, Thomas Berryman was neither of these. Random observation. The other day I showed Kat something Berryman's girlfriend had given me. It was a Crossman air pistol. To demonstrate how it could put someone to sleep, I callously, stupidly, wounded Mrs. Mulhouse's calico. It was too much for the old kitty, however, and she died. Random observation. Even Doc Fiddler's Paradise Lounge, one of the top redneck gin mills in the state of Tennessee, has a fresh print of Jimmy Horn over the liquor these days. Horn's strictly moral drama now, and people are partial to moral drama no matter what. One last observation. In 1962, Thomas John Berryman graduated from Plains High School with one of the highest grade point averages ever recorded in Potter County, Texas. Some teachers said he had a photographic memory and he had a measured IQ of 166. A little more digging revealed that he was known as the Pleasure King and nicknamed Pleasure. The women who'd been his girlfriends would only say that he made them feel inferior. Even the ones who'd liked him best never felt totally comfortable with him. Most people around Clyde, Texas, thought he was a successful lawyer in the East now. At first, I'd thought someone in the Berryman family started the rumor. Later on, I'd learned it had been Berryman himself. Berryman's father was a retired circuit judge. 3 weeks after he learned what his son had done in Tennessee, he died of a cerebrovascular accident. Thomas Berryman is 6'1", 195 pounds. He has black hair, hazel eyes, and extremely good concentration for a young man. He's also charming. In fact, he just about says it all for American charm. Background. 4 months ago, the 37-year-old mayor of our city, Jimmy Horn, was shot down under the saddest and most bizarre circumstances I can imagine. Because of that, the Nashville Citizen Reporters of last July 4th, 5th, and 6th are the three largest selling editions the paper has ever had. Maybe it's because people are naturally curious when public figures are shot. They know casual facts out of their lives, and they regard these men almost as acquaintances. They want to know how and where and what time and why it happened. I believe it's usually the same. Madman Bert Poole shoots Mayor Jimmy Horn late in the day for no good reason. That's what I wrote, but only in pencil on foolscap. In The Citizen, I wrote a long filler about the state trooper who'd subsequently shot Poole. It was real shit, and also crass. It was also incorrect. 3 days after the shooting, a story in the Washington Post reported that the man who'd shot Bert Poole hadn't been a Tennessee state trooper, as my story and our other feature stories had reported several times. The man was an expensive professional killer from Philadelphia. His name was Joe Cubba. Cubba had been spotted in photographs of the Horn shooting. Then he'd been picked up in Philadelphia. The real Tennessee trooper, Martin Wiesner, was finally found in the trunk of his own squad car. The car had been in a trooper barracks parking lot since July 3rd. Cubba was called an imaginative gunman by the Memphis Times Scimitar. Needless to say, this matter of a professional killer shooting down an assassin confused the hell out of everybody. It also depressed a good number of people, myself included, and it scared a lot of families into locking their doors at night. Coincidentally, during the wake of the Washington Post story, the Citizen Reporter received an hour-long phone call from a resident psychiatrist working at a Long Island, New York hospital. The doctor explained to one of our editors how a patient of his had been talking about the Jimmy Horn shooting nearly a week before it happened. He gave out the patient's name as Ben Toy, and he said it was fine if we wanted to send someone around to talk with him. We wanted to send me, and that's how I fit into the story. As a consequence of that decision, I'm now sequestered away in a Victorian farmhouse outside of Zebulon in Poland County. It's November now, as I mentioned. I thought that I would enjoy hunting down the murderer of a friend. Delicious revenge, they say. But I was wrong. From 4 a.m. until around 11 each day, I try to collate, then make sense out of the over 2,000 pages of notes, scraps, and interview transcripts that recreate the days leading up to the Horn shooting this past July. I've already made an indecent amount of money from advances, magazine sales, and newspaper serials on Thomas Berryman's stories. This is the book.